Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of Our Favorite Woman. My name is Fakina Kirkendall and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I give you your love. Lord, I just thank you for allowing me to be a vessel tonight. Thank you for delivering me so I can share my stories and encourage others and partner with others that want to do the same. Lord, I come to you as a man and I decrease myself and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in to saturate me, to saturate my guests, to saturate those who are desired to hear this story. I thank you for bringing women together, like-minded women together, that the things that we have gone through was for, it was for us to be delivered. But, Lord, it is for us to help others to be delivered. It's all for your glory, not for ours, not for mine, Lord, not for anyone. I thank you for those who are out there, Lord, with the similar stories and who have stories that's ready to share it. Thank you for allowing me to be the vessel, Lord, to do it. And thank you for bringing people and resources together so we may do the same for our good before your glory, Lord. And I thank you as we move forward tonight. You say when two or three are gathered together in the midst that you will be. So I thank you, Lord. And I ask you just come in and flood it. I suspect angels out there. You are the Lord of hosts. You are the Lord of house, and I ask you to send those angels out there to make any crooked path straight. I thank you for sending for those or anything that's trying to interrupt that the message will be received tonight. And I thank you for those who the message is designed for, that you will prick their hearts, you will touch their heart, and be encouraged about the woman that's coming before us tonight. I thank you for her, and I thank you for her family and everything that agrees her, Lord. And as we move forward tonight, Lord, as I mentioned, I put me at your throne of grace and invite your Holy Spirit in. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I thank you again. This is Fakina Kirkendall with Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. And when I tell you I'm excited, I am excited tonight. One, because I'm back on Blog Talk, you all. I'm back on Blog Talk, and as you all know, I came back last week. But, you know, this is the home. This is always home for me. And I believe this is where I'm going to stay for a while, so until I'm released otherwise. With that being said, we're going to move forward. So, you know, the topic tonight is going to be very interesting and maybe one that you can or cannot relate to. But those of you who are listening and feel that someone can be blessed by this, please have them log in. You can call in at, if you want to give a comment, you can call in at 914-338-1552. If you're on my personal page or on the page of my special guest, all you have to do is click the link and sit back and listen. If you want to raise your hand, raise your hand. So I thank you for those who have been tuning in from all over across the nation. I've missed you all, and thank you for your responses. I hear you, and I'm here. Now let's get to the subject tonight. You know, in life, we deal with a lot. We have the good, the bad, the ugly, and the sad. We just be having things, don't we? And as a result of that, you know, we end up with good times and bad times. And there are times in our lives, and I can just be, and I don't know if anyone can attest to this, I have had walls, I have had incidents, I've had situations that people have put their mouths on me, that I've had where people don't, you know, believe in what I'm doing, or just, I don't care, as long as you live and you're going to have a naysayer, no matter what it is. And even though they don't feel good, as I mentioned before, you just have to thank them because you know what? There's a lesson to be learned out of it. My guest tonight, I'm so excited to have her here. My guest tonight is a living testament that regardless of what comes at you, you can be an overcomer. When she talks about her bricks and her life and how throughout her life there were bricks thrown at her, and throughout it all, she stands before us tonight. I want to introduce to some and present to others my special guest, Dr. Doreen Reed. Thank you so much for coming on the show and gracing us on the platform tonight. How are you this evening?
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I am great. I'm fabulous because I'm here with all of you and on this amazing platform this Sunday evening. So I am blessed to be here, and I'm better because I'm here. How about that?
How about that? One thing I want to share with people, we have something in common besides doing platform speaking. We both are graduates from the same college, Charleston Southern University, Buccaneers. So I love it. I was like, man, when I saw that you were a Buccaneer, I was like, oh, she's a Buccaneer like I am. And to know, to have like-minded people. Everyone knows I'm from South Carolina. And I'm always born in Jersey, but raised in South Carolina. So I'm always going to claim a Southern heritage. But it's always tell people all the time. It's so refreshing when female, like-minded females can come together, when we can share our stories. So there's power in our stories. There's power in our testimonies, because a lot of us are out here thinking they're going through and they're by themselves. I'm a testament of that. I was by myself, at least I thought I was. And then when I found out other people were going through what I was going through, I was like, oh my gosh, someone else went through it too? And when I read your testimony, I said to myself, my goodness, I went through that too. I still go through it. You know, but to hear how you have taken those obstacles and you have overcame it, just overcame it. So going from being afraid or shy to read until now a doctoral degree, won't he do it?
Well, actually, shyness didn't have anything to do with my story. So you have to understand that what you're reading for Brick Walls, my life, is actually my real life. Mm-hmm. Nothing about it is fiction. Everything is in it is real. So let me just take you back to me being a five-year-old little girl in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, which is located in Charleston. Let me
yes,
take you back
is.
Into that kindergarten classroom,
and
Mount Pleasant Academy. Mount Pleasant Academy.
That's right. Before you do, Dr. Reed, may I get you to do three things for me? Tell me who you are, introduce who you are, what you do, and why you love what you do, and we go move forward from there.
Okay, so as you said, my name is Dr. Doreen Letson Reed, certified business coach to competent Christian women coaches. I coach high-performing Christian coaches 40 and over how to develop a business blueprint to gain clarity of your specific mission, message, mandate, mouth to market, and lay a firm foundation with business structure, services, product development, and policies, procedures that builds the business framework and construction to overcome fear, shatter misconceptions, increase confidence, and profit by faith in all things business. So I've been a certified business coach for quite some time, been in marketplace ministry for over 25 years. And so I didn't want to have anything to do with this, right? I was called into it. And coaching for me is a calling. I am a kingdompreneur, which means I use my business and my gifting to advance God's kingdom in all things business. And it took the unlocking of all of these gifts and talents that God had on the inside of me to really realize what I was supposed to be doing. And so for me, when I started, it wasn't something that I just, you know, wanted to do or even thought of doing. God called me into marketplace ministry in 1996 with my very just first assignment. I had just got born again. I had just got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he sent me into the school system. That was my platform to really advance his kingdom and his agenda in the earth for quite some time. I served 19 years. So fast forward to now, why I love doing what I do is because I get to work for the best boss possible. He has no flaws. He pays on time. He pays good. He has the best 401k plan, best benefits plan. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about none other than the ultimate business. And so I love working for him. We have a great time together. I've learned so much from him. I'm still learning everything that I've learned thus far. I've learned from him concerning business, concerning life, concerning coaching. And then now he's using me to raise up other coaches to advance his kingdom. So this is the best job possible because I have the best employer possible.
Yes. Yes. Now, without further ado, I would love to go back to when you were 5 years old.
Yeah, so like I was saying, this story, you know, Brick Walls is my life. It's a true story. And so I wanted to take the audience back to when I was 5 years old there in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. The name of the school is Mount Pleasant Academy. From my understanding, I think it's still there. When I went back home about 3 or 4 years ago, it was still there. They had remodeled it. And my two teachers, one of them was named Ms. Sanders. She had decided to She made a conscious decision to tell me that I could not read and would not read and stuffed my face in the corner of the wall. And she did this repeatedly. I was also labeled at that time there was a cold prickly system and a warm fuzzy system. So the cold prickly was you are horrible, you're a bad child, and the warm fuzzy was, oh, you're good. So I constantly got cold pricklies no matter how well I performed, no matter what I did, no matter how great I did something to the best of my ability, I never could please these teachers. And so I was constantly given cold pricklies. And, of course, going home to an abusive home with both of my parents literally trying to kill me because they were both abusing me, that was needless to say, very traumatic. So I had no support. I had no advocate. I'm the only child. And I was born in the Bronx. So moving to Charleston, there was no person to come and speak for me. There was no aunt. There was no uncle. There was nothing. God was my advocate. And so you're probably wondering, well, how did you meet God at such an early age? Well, he showed himself to me at a very early age. I began to know him because at that time my mother would make me sit outside for hours upon hours. I had to sit outside. I was not allowed in the house. I could not perm my hair. If I got my hair washed, I had to sit outside till it was all dry. That took hours because my hair back then was very thick, very long back then when I was small, and so I could not come in the house. And so during those times of being outside like that, I just began to realize how beautiful nature was. I had a gifting of poetry. I recognized it very early when before I could even read or write, I would recite poetry about the creation, about the clouds, the sky, the trees, all these different things. So I knew who God was because I knew he created it. And so one day I just made a decision to ask God to teach me how to read. So let me be clear. I was not shy. No human person to this day has ever taught me how to read. No, I did not teach myself how to read. No, my parents did not teach me how to read. No, the teachers did not teach me how to read. God supernaturally taught me how to read. How did he do that? He gave me the gift of poetry, which I was able to recite poetry out of my heart, but I've been doing it all my life. He gave me the gift of writing. I began to learn how to write from doing the other children's work in school because I didn't just fail one time. I failed multiple times. In third grade, we were segregated. 11 black children failed all at one time, and all the white children progressed. Mr. Whittle didn't even teach us what we needed to know. So all of those black children in that class gave me their homework, and that's how I started to be able to learn how to write in cursive, learn how to I just started learning. He showed me how to learn through the gift of poetry, through the gift of, I've always been a woman of prayer. God gave me that gift when I was very small. Obviously, I had a mind to know to pray and ask him to teach me how to read. I was not born again. I was not going to a church. Matter of fact, my parents were in an occult. They're still in an occult. So you have to understand the supernatural power of God. It's just that simple. You can either believe or you don't. It's just that simple. If you don't believe, he's not going to show up. When you do believe, he is going to show up. And he and the Holy Spirit is in the earth. He is the teacher of all things. So my encouragement to you is have childlike faith and believe. If you could see it and understand it and wrap your mind around it, then you wouldn't need faith. It's just that simple. I believed and I received supernatural understanding of how to read. He used my gifting. Let me help you today. You're not going to be able to wrap your mind around who he is. He is I am. He's I am. He was and is to come. He is God and he is God Almighty and there is none other beside him. He's a father to the fatherless and a mother to the motherless. He's everything that in between. And it takes faith to walk with him. It takes faith to him for what seems to be unaskable. But at 5 years old, I knew I could ask him because I had spent all those hours outside with him, playing with him. I have no brothers. I have no sisters. I would be on that swing looking at the sky, pondering, wondering, why was this happening to me? Who was I talking to? I was talking to God. God made himself real to me at a very early age, and I'm still walking in that. I'm still a writer. I still write poetry. Everything I do, I function with writing. It's how I think. It's how I understand. I don't process numbers to this day very well. That's not my gifting. God has used the gifting of poetry and writing, and he uses that to think through my mind and help me process what I need to do. And so for those of you are listening, this is what you call a faith walk. This is what you call a faith walk. I'm still walking in it. Yes, I have my doctoral degree. Yes, I just got out of that program, getting ready to go into another program. I'm a forever learner. But guess what else? I still struggle with math. I had, God bless me, later on in life to meet some amazing African-American teachers. One of them, she passed away, Miss Sweeney. She helped me through college. Miss Cannon, just divinely connecting me to get me past this 20-year journey because it took me 20 years to get all of my other degrees because, like you said, I did have a fear of math. I had a fear of failure, and then I was in a domestic violence relationship, and all these other things was happening. And it took me 20 years to get those other papers. It's just been a very long journey. It's been a very hard journey with people trying to mold me and shape me into what they want me to be. But I have just made a decision that I burn boxes for a living now. I'm only going to allow God to help me to be who he wants me to be. And it takes faith to do that. And that's my coaching platform. Everything that I'm doing in my coaching platform, my life, that we overcome fear, shatter misconceptions, increase confidence, and profit by faith in all things business. So I hope that helps the listening audience today. It is a faith walk, and with faith, you're not going to understand everything. You're not going to be able to wrap it around your mind. As I'm talking to you now, you probably say, "Well, how in the world did God teach her how to read?" I don't know. It was by faith. I received it by faith. I'm still learning how to speak. I'm still learning to this day. I'm not a good speller. I don't mind telling you the truth about Dr. Doreen because I don't want you to think I'm something that I'm not. I want you to understand who he is. That's my purpose for being here tonight, to always point you to the ultimate businessman, to not point you to me. I am nothing and I can do nothing without him. I am what I am only by the grace of God. I can do all that I can do only by the grace of God. I've accomplished what I've accomplished only, literally, by the grace of God. And hopefully that helps somebody tonight, Latina.
Wow. Wow. That is powerful. And thank you for the correction on the shy part. No, based on, so let me make a correction. There's no shy in this at all. But when you say that faith walk and to have that encounter with God at such an early age, you know, when I hear people, you know, it just so happened, this is Domestic Violence Month. When I hear people being abused, you know, it's one to be abused by spouse or whatever, but it's another to be abused by the one that is designed to protect you. And I want to ask you a question regarding that. You know, I see that you found your outlet, like when you had to stay outside for hours at a time, you know, knowing that God is present there. When you had that encounter with him, I just want to unpack that a little bit for someone who's going through what you're going through right now and kind of, I want to see how I want to ask this. I don't know how to physical thing, so I'm not going to start
just
now.
Just ask it straight.
Yeah. For those who are going through right now, you have some kids out there that's going through that right now. What would be some words that you could provide for that right there? Because you have so many that's going through that right now. You know, who are our parents are they're supposed to be our nurturers. They're supposed to be our protectors. They're supposed to be our providers. But for those who are not who does not have that, like you didn't have that, what words can you give them right now? Because you said a lot. This is just the beginning of the unpacking. But for that part right there, what could you say or what could you encourage someone who's going through that?
The word that I would give you is Jesus. Jesus. That's the only name you need. That's the only word that you need. And Father, I release now your angels in Jesus' name to these homes, to these situations. I stand in the gap for them now. You know where they are. You know what is happening. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. I declare and decree divine intervention. In Jesus' name, I declare and decree divine connection in Jesus' name. I declare and decree supernatural protection in Jesus' name. I take authority over the works of the enemy. I take authority over the principalities and powers of perversion. I take authority over it. I break your power in Jesus' name. I take authority over it. I take authority over anything and everything that is not like you. And I release your anointing. I release your protection. I release the name that's above every name to penetrate this situation on behalf of these people, Lord God, on behalf of your people. Just as you got me out, you have a way to get them out. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know it. All I do is speak it and believe it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it's got to break. In the name of Jesus, it's got to break. It's got to break. It's got to break. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That name is above every name. It breaks the spirit of suicide. Suicide is not your way out. Are you hearing me today? Suicide is not your way out. I break the power of suicidal spirits over you. I break the spirit of suicide over you, the innuendo, the suggestion, the reasoning that's going on in your mind right now. I take authority over it. I bring it captive, and I just render it helpless right now. It goes. It's a spirit, and it has to bow. It has to bow. I speak to that suicidal spirit, and you bow now in the name of Jesus. You bow now in the name of Jesus. You release their mind. You release her mind. You release his mind. I speak to the abuser because you are under the influence of demonic power. And I tell you in the name of Jesus, I arrest you in the name of Jesus. Arrest you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. There is no name above the name of Jesus. And that is the name we must cling to. I didn't know that name back then. But the Spirit of the living God is in the earth. His name is the Holy Spirit. His name is the Holy Spirit. And in my heart, I would cry out to God. And he heard me. And he delivered me. And he's delivering you now. He's delivering you by his power. He's delivering you by his Spirit. He's delivering you. Yes, he is. He's faithful to deliver you. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's what I have to tell your people today, that he's a delivering God, that he's same yesterday, today, and forevermore, that he doesn't change. That is the hope we have. This is the hope of glory that we have. This is the hope of glory that we have. His name is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the word I have for your listeners today. That's what got me through it. Back then, I didn't even know the name. I didn't even know the name, but I know it now. And I'm giving you the name that's above every name. You cling to the just saying the name of Jesus. You ain't got to say nothing else. Just the name. Just breathing his name. Just breathing his name. That's right. Go ahead and just say the name of Jesus. The Bible said when you call on the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. That's what it said. It just says call on the name of Jesus. You shall be saved. It didn't say might. It didn't say maybe. It said you shall be saved. That's what it said. I choose to believe what he said because he's a man that cannot and will not lie. Amen?
Amen. And I just want to say for those of you who, as doctor said, she didn't know Jesus, and then she came to in a relationship with her, with him. So I want to say to those who may have that question, I always tell people, go back to your files in life. And remember a situation or situations when you know you could not have gotten out of it by yourself. There is no way you were able to get out. And you're here to tell me about it now. Just know it wasn't you. It wasn't nobody else. It was Jesus because he's always walking. And when you hang, when you think about that and you go through that, then you just kind of try to help you understand what Dr. Doreen is saying. For those who don't know him, don't realize who he is, think about those times. And then say, it's nobody but Jesus. She is absolutely right. She is absolutely right. Think about that. Because it's a powerful name. And as Dr. Reed said, there is no other name. Once you get it, like, oh, I got to have some of that. I've got to have it. Because if he got me before, got me through before, he will get me through now, and he will get me through the future. And as Dr. Doreen was mentioning, all the time she was outside having nothing but time with him, all the time that she was in situations where she had to call on him, and to hear her talk about her testimony and her story now. God did not design us, but he designed us for a reason. We're here for a reason. We're here for purpose. Dr. Doreen's purpose is to spread her story and to spread the gospel and her love for God and how God came into her life at a point where she didn't, let me ask first before I assume. That did you think at a point that you didn't have, you said because when you moved from New York, there was nobody there and you're the only child. But it wasn't until Jesus, you had that encounter with Jesus, that's when you knew. So thank you, Dr. Ray, for that encouragement. Thank you. I'm sorry, was I interrupting that?
I just wanted to clarify, I didn't receive Jesus Christ into my Lord as my Lord and Savior at 5. I did not, I was not brought to the Lord at 5. I asked him to teach me how to read. And what I'm saying is God revealed himself to me at starting at age 5. I recognized the Lord. I recognized how to pray, obviously. He was teaching me how to pray because that's how I knew to ask him to teach me how to read. And so what I'm saying is at a very early age, I was introduced to the, now what I know is the Holy Spirit. I did not give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ or come to know the true gospel until I was 22 years old. So it took all of that time for God to divinely connect me with somebody to preach to me the true uncompromised word of the gospel. And this particular person that I met for 2 years, they came to my house and they told me this was the message, God loves you. Because for all of my life, I did not understand or could wrap my mind around the fact that how could God love me and this happened to me? Or this happened to me, so God could not love me. But then I would look at the creation and I would know he was good because the Bible says that the creation speaks for him. It speaks of his goodness. And that's what happened to me. So I knew his creation was so beautiful and I just couldn't wrap around my brain. And so all of those years of trauma and turmoil and then after leaving home, it didn't get any better. You know, I'm out of my own at 16, going to come in here and going through what I had to go through at high school. My mother did not allow me to enter into the high school here, and I had to stay out of school for 1 year. For 1 year, I had to work at McDonald's for 3 shifts a day. I worked at McDonald's morning, noon, and night. I closed, so basically I didn't go home. I was only 16. And I was out of school. Well, I had to stay out of school for a year until I turned 17, and then the district here could no longer deny me the right to go to school. So she did that as a way to control me, but I don't allow people to control me. I never have. They've always tried, and I don't allow people to control me. So that was a very dark time. And so later, many, many years later, when I was 22, I met this individual, and they began to tell me about the love of Christ. And that was literally the entire message that I heard for 2 years. It wasn't anything else. That constantly, every day, they would come to my house and just say, Jesus loves you. God loves you. And they actually told me that one day I was going to go back and reconcile with my parents, and I thought they was crazy. I got angry. I was so angry. So angry when they told me that. I'm like, you are crazy. I'll never do that. That's what I said. I was like, you're crazy. I'll never do that. And sure enough, in 2004, I went back. So I just wanted to clarify here. I literally went back. I did what I said I wasn't going to do. I didn't understand the power of forgiveness at that time. But I didn't give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ until I was 22. And this person told me every day for 2 years, it took me a while to develop that faith that God really loves me. It took some time. I just my mind couldn't accept it. And it was causing a hindrance in my faith. So it takes a while. Which is why preaching the gospel is so important, because a person can't just hear something one time and then, they just magically got it. The Bible says that one plants the seed, one waters, but it's he that gets the increase. Mm-hmm. So remember, I remembered all the planting of the seed. The Holy Spirit was planting the seed, all of that time from 5. And, you know, when my daughter was born, he supernaturally showed me how to become a mother overnight, literally. I didn't even know how to change a diaper. Remember, I have nobody to ask. nobody to call and say, well, how do you change a diaper? How do you do milk? How do you do this? They have none of that. So he literally, I had to ask, remember, I asked him again how to even change the diaper, how to do this. I would ask him. It's the power of the ask. You have not because you ask not. And even if you're not born again and you're talking to God and you're asking him for things, what he's doing is he's wooing you. The Bible says he draws us with loving kindness. He wants you to know that he's good. So many of you listening have been talking to him. You've been asking him to pay your light bill. You've been asking him to do this. You've been asking him to do that. And he shows up for you, right? Because he's drawing you to himself. So the whole time God is talking to you. Now I'm going to warn you, don't play him to be a fool. Now that's tight, but it's right. I'm going to say it again. Don't pray him to be a fool. Don't do like I did. Get me out of this floor. And the next night I'm at the club and they're shooting. Yeah, they're shooting for Chyna, and I'm underneath my red Pontiac that God bought me, and I'm telling him, if you get me out of this, I'll never come back to the club, right? I'm not going to come back to the black hole no more, right? And so little bit by little bit, that stuff started just coming off of me. I was like, this has got to be better, right? So I'm not going to sit here and tell you no lie, right? So all of you listening, I got you. So what am I telling you? I've been there, right? Don't pray him to be a fool, because the Bible says that he's not to be mocked. All those times that God got me out of those scrapes and got me out, what was he doing? He was drawing me to himself. He was drawing me to himself. The Bible draws me with his loving kindness. So don't tell me that God is not talking to you. Oh, he's talking, but are you listening? And are you surrendering? That's the question here tonight. The question is not, is God for you? You already know God is for you because you live in, you breathe it. You already know. Let's not get it twisted. There's nothing wrong with your mind. You know exactly that God is there for you because you woke up this morning. You're not dead. You're not 6 feet under, right? You have another chance. You have another opportunity. So let's not get it twisted. Let's just talk straight, and let's just call it what it is. The question is, are you ready to surrender? Because he's not just, he's not just, Savior. He's also Lord. So the question is, are you ready to make him Lord of your life? That's the holdup. See, we want to eat the good of the land. We want what's in his hand, but we don't want his lordship. We don't want to surrender our ways for his ways. We want to still conduct our lives the way we think we should conduct them and just go to him like he's some type of sugar daddy. That's not going to never happen. Oh, I'm calling it like it is now. You asked me to come on this show. This is some straight talk tonight. If you didn't want to come to get free, you in the wrong place, baby, because I came here. I've been sent to unlock what's inside you. I didn't just go. This is not just a tagline for me. I walked this. I've been sent. I didn't just come. Now, you want to be free? Unlock what's inside you. You ain't crazy. Ain't nothing wrong with your mind. And right now, the Spirit of the living God is opening your eyes so that you can see clearly. The choice is yours. Do you want to be free? Enough of the game. Enough of the running. Enough of doing it the way you want to do it. You are not God, and he not changing. It's Lord and Savior and Lord, not one or the other. That is the decision I had to make. I had to make a decision that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I had to make a decision that I was not going to let these females that I call friends take me to hell. I had to make a decision to stop running with the pack. Yes, ma'am, I did. I had to make a decision. Now, God is calling you here tonight for a decision, because Foshina knew what I was coming to bring. I come to bring you the truth. Yes. I didn't come to play. It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm supposed to be asleep. I didn't come to play. and neither did Christ Jesus. He's not playing. We are living in the last of the last days. Wake up and make a decision. Now, for you, for you that are listening and you ready, I'm going to give you Romans chapter 10, and we're going to say the salvation prayer. Because I done talked enough. It's time to make a decision. We're not going to keep talking and beating this dead horse. The Spirit of the living God is right where you are. He's convicting your heart right now. So it's time to make a decision. Right where you are, lift up your hand. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Lift up your hand. And you're saying this to Jesus Christ. You say, Jesus, I'm tired of running. So I'm running back to you. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. Take control. Forgive me of all of my sin. Cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood. Now I receive your forgiveness, and I receive my eternal salvation in your name, in Jesus' name. And I renounce my old life. I renounce Satan, and I make you Lord. I make you, Jesus Christ, Lord of my life, Savior of my life. Help me to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Now, what just happened was you've been translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why? Because according to Romans 10, verse 9, it says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever believes shall not be put ashamed. Whosoever believes and shall call upon the name of the Lord, according to verse 13, shall be saved. Salvation prayer, you renounced your old life. That means you put it aside. You've told Satan he has no more power over you, and he doesn't. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You've asked him to forgive you of all your sin and wash you with his blood, and nothing can wash away your sin but the blood of Jesus. And your belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as the Son of the living God, that he raised, that he died on the cross and rose on the third grade, on the third grade day, your belief in that, your belief in what he's done for you, and asking him to come in your heart and be your Lord and Savior, that's how you are saved. It has nothing to do with religion. Receiving what he's already done for you. And so, Father, you know these people that have prayed this prayer. You see them. You know them. You've written their names in the book of life. My prayer is, Father, that now you would send people across their path to proclaim the true gospel to them. Divinely connect them with those that will again continue to water the seed that has planted in their heart tonight, that you may continue to get the increase, that their fruit will remain. Father, I thank you for strategically surrounding them with godly people that love you and are sincere to you. Protect them from any harm or danger concerning false doctrine, but connect them with those that are hungry and thirsty for you and will give them the true gospel, Father, that they may grow in you, may excel in you for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Bochina, I turn it back to you.
Amen. I'm ready to pass the collection plate now. You have done it. I mean, everything. They can't get any better than Christ. It cannot get any better than Christ. I implore you, if you know someone that can benefit from this, please share the message. Coming from just my personal, and you all know my personal story, coming from abuse, coming from childhood sexual abuse, coming from abandonment, coming from rejection, coming from so many things, let me just be a testament. It wasn't until I gave my life to him. I mean, I knew his presence was there, and I was just like Dr. Doreen, you say you were there for me, but I went through all of this. But when I look back over my life, as that song say, and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Oh, yes, I've been blessed. Because the story that was being created helps me to share where I am right now. The story that was created is here to help someone right now. The story that was created with Dr. Doreen is here to help you right now. He gave the invitation. I would have to seal it with that. I can't really come behind something like that. That was a powerful testimony. And when she talks about what she's went through in her life and how the testimony that came out of it, that it can't get any better than that. It can't get any better than that. I can't really try to follow up on that because honestly, there's nothing I can really say because you nailed it. And for anyone that's interesting or feel like I'm going to shift gears right now. You know, because of that, it has led you, doctor, into the ministry that you're doing now. And before I do that, let me recognize my sponsor. This show is being sponsored by Paradise Mortuary and Cremation Services by the CEO and founder, Mr. Henry J. Middleton, who's owner and president. He is located at 464 Atlanta Street, Marietta, Georgia, 30060. And their contact number is 678-567-7512. Their motto is dignified, respectfully, and compassionate service that you can depend on. And I just have to personally say, I know this man myself. I remember him as he was younger, and he talked about his dreams of being in the business he's in now. And he went through the good and the bad and the hardship, and to see that he started a funeral transport business first, and then he started his own. God blessed him with it because he stayed his faith. Regardless of what he went through, the obstacles he went through, he stood the course, and now he has set up his own funeral transport and his own funeral home, another testament of what Dr. Reed just mentioned. There's something inside of you. He created it, and you just got to hone on into it. But once you give your life, once you surrender it to him, there's nothing that you cannot do without. You can do all things through Christ. Not some things, not a little bit of things, but all things. And it ain't a hard thing to do. It's not a hard thing. Just surrender. Just surrender. And people say, well, I don't know. I can't have fun. Well, the things that you consider fun, regardless of what there is, everything I give up were things I didn't need in my life. I didn't need to do sex before marriage. I didn't need to do the alcohol. I didn't need to do any of that because, one, it destroys the body, and two, the sex is saved for marriage. So all the things that I gave up and surrendered were things I needed to do it because I wasn't using it in the right way. So with that being said, Dr. Reed, you've come to know him. You've got that relationship. You put that relationship out. And as a result of all that you've gone through, let's talk about the fruit that came out of it. You started your own business, correct?
Yes, absolutely. God has shown me how to turn pain into power, into profit.
Let's unpack that a little bit.
Turn pain into power, into profit. So all of the pain that you've heard me talk about, all of the experiences that you've heard me talk about, you can see why my business is rooted, and I'm rooted and grounded as a kingdompreneur. So I am not an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is different from a kingdompreneur. I have a lot of respect for entrepreneurs, but the difference between entrepreneurship and kingdompreneurship is my boss. My boss is the ultimate businessman. Therefore, I seek ye first the kingdom, and everything else is added unto me. Versus an entrepreneur, their business more is focused on, you know, building that business, making sure that their sales are there. All of those things are great. Those things are wonderful. But my focus is different. My focus is kingdom in all things business, advancing God's kingdom in all things business. My focus is different. Who I've been commissioned by is different. I've been commissioned by the Holy One to advance his kingdom in all things business. So my focus is different. My heart posture is different. Everything that I do is different. Why? Because I have a different boss. My boss is the ultimate businessman. He functions different. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And so God has raised me up, a top international coach. I coach women from around the world. As I said earlier, I coach high-performing Christian women coaches on how to develop that business blueprint to gain clarity of your specific mission, your message, your mandate, your mantle to get to market. And so a lot of us that are currently coaching or aspiring to be coaches, we really haven't gotten laser focused on understanding how to get clear on our specific message. Many of us are trying to be like someone else, and that is causing a lot of confusion because you have to unlock what's inside you. So that is my specialty. Once you're unlocking what's inside you and have gained clarity of your specific mission and are able to develop that as a business blueprint, then you can begin to lay a firm foundation by developing the policies, the procedures, all of these different things so that when clients come to you, they're able to see the progression of the coaching. They're able to see the outcome of the coaching. They're able to see the transformation of the coaching. They're able to see themselves go through the milestone checklist. That's what my platform uses. My clients are able to see themselves go through the milestone checklist. They're able to see themselves go from point A to point B, point B. I don't have to tell them that they're moving. They're telling me that they're moving. And that's what the unlocking does. It allows you to begin to clearly see what you're called to do. It allows you to clearly see how the business to be structured. When your clients come to you, the onboarding, the exiting, the curriculum, all of these different things is what I do for my clients and with my clients as we co-build together and as we are positioning these businesses to unlock what's inside you in all things business to advance this kingdom. So my coaching business is based on kingdompreneurship. It's based on biblical principles, obviously. But a lot of this is, too, for Chyna, a lot of coaches that are inspiring to be coaches are currently coaching. There's a lot of misconceptions that cause fear because a lot of women, you know, they're in ministry, fivefold ministry. Some women are in fivefold ministry, but they have a desire to have a business. And there's a confliction that, oh, because I stand in the pulpit, then I can't be in business because then I can't charge people. Where, you know, that's a big misconception. It causes a lot of fear. I had one woman get so afraid. She was like, I don't want nobody to think I'm a harling. And I'm like, how could you possibly be a harling? The fact that you're afraid of being a harling lets me know that you're not a harling because harlings are not afraid. They are viciously perpetrating and pursuing God's people to devour. They have no fear of God. So the fact that you have a fear of God lets me know that you're not a harling, right? But it comes from all of these misconceptions. And then, oh, well, because I'm in the pulpit, I can't, you know, I can't even have a business because I have to choose one or the other. No, I don't want to be in business because I don't want God to be mad at me and I forfeit the call. Okay, so all of these misconceptions cause a lot of fear in Christian women, and especially if someone is aspiring to be a coach or even if you're already currently coaching and you're seeing your business not hitting the marks that you want to hit. It could be because you haven't unlocked what's inside you. It could be because you're dealing with some fear that you don't even recognize that you have, because you have misconceptions that need to be shattered that you don't even recognize that you have, which causes a decrease of confidence, and you cannot build any business and brand, especially in only 90 days, which is what I do with my clients, without confidence, without structure, without discipline. Mm-hmm. So all of these things are necessary to unlock what's inside you, so that you can begin to profit by faith. So that is what I do. I am a certified business coach to confident Christian women coaches. Whether you're inspired to be a coach or you're already coaching and you want to expand your business, regardless of where you are in the business, it's going to need a business blueprint. So I am a master business builder. When you go and build a house, what do you have to have? You have to have a blueprint. The contractor is not going to come. The inspector is not going to come. And when the inspector does come, what is he going to ask for? The blueprint. So it's the same thing with building the actual business. We have to have a business blueprint. You must have your firm foundation so that the business can stand, because except the Lord build the house, it's built in vain. So we have to take the time to go through these processes of business. We can't just be in such a hurry to get to market, and we don't even know what we're saying to the marketplace. We don't even know. We haven't taken the time to clarify our specific mission, our specific message. How does God want to use my anointing, which is your mantle, to advance this business? There are things that we have to unlock that's on the inside of us, ladies, and we have to take the time to do so, so that we can show up in the worldwide marketplace the way we want to show up. But there takes the unlocking. It takes the unlocking. It takes the developing of the business blueprint. These are things that are necessary so that you can overcome fear, shatter misconceptions, increase confidence, profit by faith, and advance God's kingdom in all things business.
And with all that being said, if someone is interested in getting in contact with you, how would they be able to do that?
You would go to Doreen, let them read, type in my name. I'm Googleable. My website is in my name. All my social media is in my name. I'm Googleable.
I like that, Googleable. I like Googleable.
That's question. A new word. I have no idea.
I like that. That's a new word. I like that, Googleable. I like that.
I got that from Dr. Shirley. She tells us that she told us that because I went to her class too. She's my coach too. She was my coach too, Dr. Shirley Clark. She says when we got in her class, she said, I don't even let nobody ask me who I am because I'm Googleable. We passed that. Go look. Go do your business.
I love
like,
that.
I'm Googleable.
I'm Googleable. I love that. So just for those who are not familiar how to spell your name, I have Doreenlett. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if there's an E and then S-O-M-E. So can you confirm the your middle name?
Yeah,
I'll
spell it for you.
All right.
Yeah, so it's Doreen, Lettsom, Lettsome, Reed, Reid. Yep, that's me.
Reid. I had everything but that. I should have went with my first thought. You should always go with your first thought. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here tonight and be on the platform. You have given a plethora of information, and I thank you for sharing your story and just being transparent, because I love transparency when people can be transparent, because we're in a society today, we can't sugarcoat things no more. You have to just come with the real. And I knew that I showed up, you were going to come with the real, and you showed up and showed out. So I thank you for who you are.
I just want to acknowledge that it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me.
Well, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. He puts people and things together for a reason. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I want to thank my special guest, Dr. Doreen Reed. And we will be here again next Sunday for another fabulous show. Just remember, I love you, but God loves you more. Good night.
Good night.